So we've been talking this year about what the Bible really says about. That's what's on the cover of your worship guide. And in this season of Lent, we're talking about confronting suffering and evil. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about good people and bad things. And last week about where is God when people are suffering. And today we're going to talk about, is killing ever okay? That's why I was talking about that commandment, thou shalt not kill. And it's in your preparation for your bulletin today. So we're going to take some time to reflect on that question and the commandment, thou shalt not kill. And we're even going to think a bit about all the ways that we kill, that we create destruction or harm to ourselves or others, to the world, or how sometimes that happens to us. And this is a question that some of you posed. Is killing ever okay? One image that we've been talking about through this season of Lent is from the song Anthem by Leonard Cohen. There's a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in. There's a crack in everything, and God comes in with God's light. And I want to say something today about the Japanese art of kintsugi. In the Japanese art of kintsugi, when things break, like a pot or a vase, they're not just automatically thrown away. The pieces are given to an artist who glues them back together, and then where the cracks have been, puts gold paint so that the cracks show up. And it reminds us that even the cracks in our lives can become beautiful things, that our scars tell us about some of the things that we've been through in our lives, and God can turn them into something beautiful. That's what the Japanese art of kintsugi, K-I-N-T-S-U-G-I, you can look it up, kintsugi, not right now. That's what it means. And so this is one of those days when we're talking a little bit about the cracks in our lives and how God comes in with God's light into those places. So we're going to hear first a scripture, a passage in Luke chapter 22 about Jesus, about the night when he's betrayed and how he responds when somebody does an act of violence. I invite you to listen to that. And then in a little while, I'm going to incorporate some of the Old Testament passages from Numbers 35 into the message. But we're going to begin with this passage about Jesus.
Luke 22, verses 47 through 52. While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?" When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. The word of God for the people of God.
So please pray with me. God, we bring ourselves to you, our whole selves, and we know that you always have life in mind for us. You want us to live life abundantly and fully. Help us see that in the scriptures and the message today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is a really big topic. Is killing ever okay? You could probably talk about that for a year or so. So this is just a reflection on it today. I picture that lots of you would think, oh, I wish she'd talked about this, and I wish she'd talked about that. And so I'm only going to talk about this. And you might not have clear answers today. I'm offering you some thoughts about this. So here goes. If a spider or a bee gets into our house, they have a better chance of getting out alive if they run into Art rather than me. This is a little secret, you see. Art and I sometimes disagree about killing things in our house, especially spiders, which I don't like. And he'll say, oh, I'm going to catch it and relocate it. Right? So that's what he does. Me, I'm just with a shoe and bam. I know it's better to relocate them. They have better luck with Art than me. So a couple of days ago, Art asked me, so what's the title of your sermon? And I said, is killing ever okay? And he said, well, that should be a short sermon. Just say no. Of course, if we put the question that way, is killing ever okay? And we look at the commandment, thou shalt not kill, we'd have to say no. Okay, end of sermon. Let's go home. But then we start to think about our dilemmas with this simple no, don't we? We think about killing animals. We kill animals to eat and for a variety of reasons. We think about war, right? And times when people are called to kill. We think about capital punishment or self-defense. And we think about what killing, and it, for our purposes today, I'm not making much of a distinction between killing and murder. We're just talking about when life is destroyed, especially human life. We think about killing, about taking a human life intentionally or not, and we think about what that does when that happens. It breaks community. It breaks relationships. It has unintended and intended consequences. It brings hurt and pain and sorrow. And at one level, it's never okay. You know, we've been talking this year about what the Bible really says. So for a moment, we're going to look in the Old Testament, especially today at Numbers chapter 35. And this is the law that is laid out in the law of Moses about what to do when there is a killing. And one of the things that happens in the book of Numbers is that cities of refuge are created. And those cities are for people who have unintentionally killed someone. People can go there for safety. And the reason for that is that in ancient times, when a member of the community is killed, intentionally or unintentionally, the other members of the community, of their tribe or their family group, had the right to seek blood vengeance, to go and kill another member of the other tribe for what someone had done, either kill the avenger or the perpetrator themselves or another member of the tribe. The cities of refuge were intended to create places of safety for people who killed unintentionally. Then the scripture goes on to talk about how if someone does kill intentionally with an object or a stone or anything really, that they should be put to death by a member of the tribe who lost someone, by the blood avenger. But if someone kills unintentionally, if they kill accidentally, not only can they go to the city of refuge, they are entitled to what amounts to a trial. They're entitled to a plan of justice if they have unintentionally committed this killing. So the scripture, even in ancient times, makes a distinction between intentional and unintentional killing. So if it's intentional, the killer can be put to death. If not, they can go to a place of safety until there's a trial. These laws of the Hebrew people, and this is important, were intended to move the community forward to a new level from what would have been common in that day. If somebody in your family or tribe was killed, intentional or not, you would designate a blood avenger to avenge that killing. So the Hebrew laws set forward in the Pentateuch make provisions for trials and defenses and making a case. It raises the bar. It creates a different kind of community. The main intent of the Old Testament laws was to preserve and guide the community, to reduce blood vengeance. They were intended to bring order so that the community wouldn't destroy itself or nearby communities and would live in peace. You're with me so far on this, right? You're with me on this. It was intended, even though it seems vengeful to us, it raised the bar from the way the society functioned at the time. So, thou shalt not kill, what does it mean now, and is killing ever okay? Well, we think about self-defense, don't we? We put complex locks on our doors, and we put in alarm systems, and yet we find that, hopefully only very occasionally, there still might be a need to defend oneself, either in one's home or out in the world. And I've wondered what I would do if someone was seriously threatening my family, my children or my grandchildren. I'm pretty sure, in fact, that I would grab the closest weapon and do what I could to hurt them. I don't think I'm really proud of that, but I think that's what I'd do. Self-defense, we think about that, don't we? Hopefully we never have to face that, but I think I might do that. We think about capital punishment, which is a complex subject nowadays. People of faith make arguments to support or condemn it, especially today when we have advanced forms of evidence gathering, including DNA that can prove somebody innocent years later. Is capital punishment ever okay today? And I do not have a simple answer to that question. How about war? Again, today we have complex and powerful weapons that go beyond killing hand to hand, which is what people did back in the Bible times and really until fairly recently and still sometimes now, one person on another person. It's not nearly as common nowadays. We know today about the toll that serving in combat takes on military people. We know about the serious forms of PTSD that radically alter people's lives when they've had to take other people's lives in combat. I think that probably there always was PTSD. How many stories do you have of your relatives who came back from World War I, World War II, Vietnam, who just couldn't talk about things, but yet life became very, very difficult for them? You know, again, this is a complex question. Good arguments can be made for times when war in some circumstances under certain conditions, we would say, well, that makes sense. That makes sense that somebody went to war with Hitler, doesn't it? Makes sense. And yet we regret the loss of life and the toll that war takes on those people who are called to serve our country and other places, right? These are hard subjects, aren't they? Yeah, it really makes us think. These are just some of our modern-day ongoing dilemmas. And the question for us, for me, I think, because this is the question that God sets forward in Scripture, the question is, when a decision is made to do something, to harm or kill someone, is it necessary in order to lead to life? Those of you who are writing can write that down. Is it necessary in order to lead to life? In self-defense, in capital punishment, in war, in the other difficult questions around the is killing ever okay? Question. And I wonder today if perhaps we need to think of this question, is killing ever okay, in a different way for our daily lives, and think about what leads to life. And for this, we go to the words and the ways of Jesus. We go beyond the commands and the intent of the Old Testament to Jesus, who intended to fulfill the law. And we look at this little passage in Luke chapter 22, where Jesus is betrayed and turned over to the authorities. And when a disciple lops off the head of a slave, or lops off the ear of a slave, lops off the ear of a slave, Jesus says, "This is enough of this. No more of this." Those are Jesus' words. No more of this. No more of this violence and harm. We're going a new way in a new place. And Jesus raises the bar to a new level, not just reducing blood vengeance like in the Old Testament, but to really look at our lives today. And his intent is to preserve and strengthen God's community and God's people, to do things that lead toward life. And so Jesus says, no more of this. We're going a new way and to a new place. It's thought-provoking, isn't it? It gets us really thinking. So I also think that we kill in many ways, not just by ending someone's life. We sometimes harm or destroy with our words. We destroy someone's spirit sometimes with cruelty or exclusion. And sometimes we've been the recipient of those things, where someone has said or done things that kill a dream or a hope, or push us to a place of hurt or sorrow. I think that in some ways we all participate in killing. Perhaps not the killing of the body of a person, but like a broken pot. Our lives have many cracks in them, from things that we've done or things that have been done to us. And we think about Jesus' words again. No more of this. We're going a new way, he says, and then he heals the ear of the slave in a situation where Jesus was deeply threatened. He says, no more of this. We're going a new way. And so it means that in this season of Lent, we all have a need to repent. I want to say what, for me, repentance means. It means that we die to everything in the past and entrust our lives to Jesus. That might mean that we say the sorrows, the losses, the wounds, the betrayals, the regrets of our past are not what we want to define us anymore. Perhaps we say that the sorrows, the losses, the wounds and the betrayals, the regrets of our past, we don't want to rule our lives anymore. We die to that and entrust our lives to Jesus, to a new way of living that seeks to do no more damage to us, but leads to life, to let go of being shaped by the damage done to us or that we have unintentionally done to others. I think about kintsugi and the broken pot, and how when the pot is put back together, in some ways it's more beautiful than before. But it takes the putting back together, the intentional kind of reforming of the pot. You can still see the cracks. You know the cracks. You know they're there because in kintsugi they take gold paint and highlight them. You see, with kintsugi, we begin to help each other see the beauty in each other, even with the cracks that are part of our past. So, this is my reflection for you for today. Of course, don't kill. Don't kill. I suppose I'll even go with art and not kill spiders now and then. Because at one level, killing is never okay, but there are times when things happen and there are consequences. And then with Jesus, we work to heal, to bring healing and hope, to repent, to say, I don't want to be defined by what's been in the past. I want to, with Jesus, begin anew and entrust my life to the one who saves us, in the past, now, and into our future. Thanks be to God. I close with this word of prayer. A loving Father, we trust that you do not cause illness or harm to your world or your creation, but move in where these things happen and reach with your mighty arm and bring healing and hope. You lift people from the rubble of despair. You comfort those who mourn, and you heal the sick by drawing close to them. We know that you're in the middle of it, touching us tenderly, healing us willingly, and we thank you, precious Lord. Amen.